It's Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN. Presented by the Windjammer Restaurant and Upper Deck Pub. Local, fresh, and Burlington's original steak and seafood restaurant. Now, here's your host, Brady Farkas.
What's up, everybody? Brady Farkas, Champlain Valley Game Night right here on a Wednesday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. We go up until 6:30 today, and then we bring you more college basketball. This is March, everyone. It's ACC tournament action right here coming up at 6:30. Some housekeeping to get through at the start of the show. Trivia tonight, City Sports Grill in Colchester, 7:30 to 9:30, so come on and hang out. Idle Time Brewery in Stowe tomorrow. Drive safe. It's our 101.3 ESPN Winter Craft Beer Tour, so we look forward to having you out with us in Stowe. As for what's coming up on the show today, Brian Gloyd will be in studio. He's the voice of the Plattsburgh State men's hoop team as they head for the Sweet 16 on Friday out at Swarthmore College in Pennsylvania. Also the voice of the women's hockey team as they ready for the NCAA tournament. So he'll be here in just a couple of minutes. We'll go over the Giants trade at the end of the show. The Giants acquire Alec Ogletree from the Los Angeles Rams. But first, the Seahawks are trading Michael Bennett. The Seahawks are likely getting rid of Richard Sherman in some capacity, and the team lost Marshawn Lynch a few years ago. The breakup is coming, and the Seahawks aren't going to get the credit that they deserve for years. The Seattle Seahawks have a parallel when it comes to the sports world, and it's the Bad Boys Pistons. The Pistons of the 1980s and very early 90s, more so late 80s though, the Pistons are a team that I'm sure if I were living, I would have hated at the time if I wasn't a Pistons fan. They were brash, they were cocky, they were physical, they were dirty, they were all of the above. They were everything we were supposed to not like about sports. They were Bill Laimbeer playing dirty, they were Dennis Rodman being eccentric, they were Isaiah Thomas, who I would have to imagine at the time was fairly likable, but it was one likable guy in what, a sea of guys that were unlikable? That's really what the Seahawks are. Russell Wilson is inherently likable. The rest of the team, not so much. If you are not a Seahawk fan, you likely have hated the Seahawks since they came to prominence 5 years ago, 6 years ago. You don't like Pete Carroll for various reasons. You don't like the way he chews his gum on the sideline. You don't like the fact that he's got a ton of energy. You don't like the fact that he ruined the Patriots, or he wasn't great for the Patriots when he was the head coach. You don't like the fact that he left USC's program in shambles in college and just jetted to the pros to get away from all the sanctions that were coming. You don't like Richard Sherman because he talked at Tom Brady. You don't like Richard Sherman because he mocked Darrelle Revis in the Super Bowl. You don't like Richard Sherman because he's not afraid to talk politics, because he yells at his coach, and because he talks openly about Michael Crabtree. You don't like Michael Bennett either. He talks politics. He made up a story about police. I get that. You don't like that either. You don't like this team because they've been outspoken. You don't like this team because they've played the game hard, sometimes bordering on dirty. They've led the league in penalties, it feels like, forever. Them or the Raiders. But at the end of it, as this Seahawks run is coming to an end, a lot of people are going to dance on the gravestones of the Seahawks. And I'm not just doing this because I'm a Seahawk fan. It means more to me because I'm a Seahawk fan, yes. But I would feel the same way regardless. The Seahawks in 15 years, when all of these players have retired, they should get their due as one of the more remarkable runs in football history. Yes, they only won one championship. I'm not here to say that what they have done is more impressive than what the Patriots have done, or more impressive than what the Cowboys of the 90s did, or the 49ers of the 80s, or the Steelers of the 70s, or any other great team. It's not about what's more impressive. It's about the fact, though, that it is impressive. Look at what the Seahawks have done here. If they are closing the window on the Legion of Boom era, and it looks like they are, Bennett gone, Sherman likely gone, Cam Chancellor may never play again. It's this run that we know is over. Okay? Since 2012, 5 playoff berths in 6 years, 3 NFC West titles, 2 NFC titles, 1 Super Bowl championship, and a play away from being 2 Super Bowl championships in 2 years at a time when teams don't repeat back-to-back. They are the Bad Boys Pistons. You love to hate them. You're glad that they're disintegrating. You're glad that they're no longer the bully on the block and that they're likely headed for 9-7 this year again. You're happy about it ending, and I get that. But for the most part, chances are you've just hated the Seahawks because chances are they've been better than your team. And that's why you take more satisfaction in this run coming to an end. The Seahawks deserve your recognition, even if you don't like them. They deserve your recognition, and I, as a Seahawks fan, am nothing but thankful. Sure, I wish they would handle things differently. Sure, I wish Richard Sherman didn't yell at offensive coordinator Daryl Bevel. Sure, I wish that Michael Bennett didn't likely make up a story that makes law enforcement look bad at a time that's incredibly sensitive in America, not just sports in America. I wish a lot of things were done. I wish they hadn't given a bunch of money to Matt Flynn. I wish they had handled things differently. I wish that Golden Tate hadn't left the organization under cloudy circumstances about maybe having an affair with Russell Wilson's then wife. I wish that they had handled things differently. But at the end of the day, I'm incredibly thankful that I got to be a fan of a team that had a run like that, because I know how tough it is. Go talk to a Jet fan. Go talk to a Browns fan. Go talk to a Vikings fan, a Bengals fan that can't win a playoff game. Go talk to a Detroit Lions fan. How many of them would give up their left arm for a five-year stretch, five-year in six-year stretch like the Seahawks have just had? I'd like to be mad at this team for not making the playoffs this year. I'd like to be disappointed in throwing things about how they weren't playing in January for the first time in 6 years. But I remember. I remember the days when John Freeze was the starting quarterback. I remember the days when Glenn Foley, a Jets castoff, was the starting quarterback. I remember a time when they were 8-1 in 1998 or 9. And finished the year 9-7 and lost a home playoff game to Miami. At that point, I would have given my left arm for them to make the playoffs once. Nevertheless, have a Super Bowl title and make the playoffs 5 times in 6 years. So a lot of you are happy that the Seahawks run is likely over as we know it in the NFC. I'm not saying they're not going to be good. They're still going to be competitive, but I don't think they're Super Bowl favorites going into next year out of the NFC. I am nothing but thankful that I got to finally have a rooting team to watch. And I think in 15 years, we're all going to come together and talk about just how good this Seahawks team was and how good the core, Russell Wilson, Marshawn Lynch, Richard Sherman, Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor, Michael Bennett, Bobby Wagner, Doug Baldwin, just how special that core is, because you don't get that often. Nevertheless, you don't get it all the time. You don't get it often. It's rare. It's rare that it happened. I'm lucky that I got to see it. And maybe in 15, 20 years, the Seahawks will be looked at like the Bad Boys Pistons. And they'll get a 30 for 30 made after them because they did something that not a lot of teams get to do. It's Champlain Valley Game Night right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. If you want to get in, you can. 802-655-6672. So let's pivot here. Friday night, we were out in Plattsburgh. We were over at Memorial Hall getting ready for the Cardinals in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Well, let's fast forward to now. The Cardinals are getting ready for the Sweet 16 of the Division III NCAA basketball tournament. The Cardinals disposed of the City College of New Jersey and Union over the weekend. And now they get ready for Swarthmore College traveling down to Pennsylvania over the weekend, looking to advance out of this weekend to a Final Four, which will be an unbelievable accomplishment for Tom Curl and his team. So now sitting down with us in studio today is Brian Gloyd. He's the voice of Cardinal basketball on 103.7, also the voice of Plattsburgh women's hockey, and we'll get to that also. But Brian, thank you for being with us, man. How are you? Thanks for being in studio.
Oh, I'm just absolutely fabulous, Brady. I'm with Brady Farkas today. I am so excited about this. This is great.
I wish everyone shared that same enthusiasm.
Well, I know Arnie doesn't.
Yeah, no, not Arnie. Arnie just goes, how you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy?
Unbelievable to have to deal with that every day.
So the Cardinals are 24-4 going into the Sweet 16. They've won 21 in a row. So that means this team started out 3-4. How the heck are they so good?
Simple. Jonathan Patron.
39 points, 18 rebounds on Saturday.
Unbelievable. The man with the plan. He wears camouflage sneakers to try to hide from people. There's no hiding this kid. He's 6'2", 245 pounds. Could be a defensive tackle for the New York Giants.
They could use one.
He is so powerful. He did not play in those four games.
Now, what do we know about Patron coming into Plattsburgh? He's so good. Did he have bigger offers that he rejected? Did he have opportunity to go other places? Or did Coach Curl and his staff just point to this kid early on and say, we're getting him at all costs?
Well, this kid now is a junior from Huntington, New York. And again, he is a power forward, 6'2", 245.
Doesn't fit the Division I build.
But he's Plattsburgh's version of LeBron James. That's the description that I can give you. You know, looking, you know, radio is theater of the mind. Just picture LeBron James, only a little bit smaller.
Yeah.
That's what he is. He's so powerful. He gets a head of steam going down the court. You get out of the way because he's so big. He's like a fullback. And then all of a sudden, he pulls up for that mid-range jumper, and he's got the soft touch. If you foul him, he makes all his free throws. He's a complete basketball player.
Now, it's not just Jonathan Patron. Guys like Eli Bryant really can fill up the stat sheet. Well, we had him on a week and a half ago in Champlain Valley game night. How much depth is there on this team around Jonathan Patron?
Well, it's just scary because they have two players, Eli Bryant and Eric Mack, who come off the bench that made the all-conference team.
I mean, that's good depth.
That's pretty good depth. Their bench is like a microwave oven with water boiling inside. Okay, these guys come off out of the microwave oven, off the bench, and they all think they're starters. So they come off shooting and ready to play, and they come in for 10 seconds. They're launching long threes and making them, especially Eli. Eli finished second in the league in scoring, 18 points per game.
Now, again, we talk about this team going down to Pennsylvania to take on Swarthmore College. And Swarthmore, they're a good team. They smoked Middlebury when Middlebury was number two in the country, but they didn't even win their conference tournament. So what do we know about Swarthmore going into this matchup?
Well, all I've got to say about Swarthmore, okay, Swarthmore or Swarthmore, there's two ways of saying it.
I call it Swarthmore.
They're in Pennsylvania. They're about 11 miles southwest of Philadelphia. Now, the townies, the people who live there, don't pronounce the R.
I'm not a townie, so I can call it Swarthmore.
But all the students there, the elite students, use the R.
That's what I'm using. I must be elite then.
So, but it's interesting because they have a very small team compared to Plattsburgh. They have a kid by the name of Cam Wiley, their leading scorer. He's about 6 feet tall. They have a bunch of kids that are around 6 feet tall that like to take the three ball, and that's what they count on. So they're not a very big team, and that might hurt them against Plattsburgh State, who defends the three ball really well.
Yeah, Tom Curl, the head coach of Plattsburgh, told us that that's one of their biggest focuses defensively. We're talking with Brian Gloyd. He's the voice of Plattsburgh State men's basketball on 103.7, but you're also the voice of Plattsburgh State women's hockey, and the NCAA tournament is on its way in women's hockey, and Plattsburgh going in a bit of an unfamiliar position. They're not the number one team in the country right now going into the tournament, though they are the four-time defending champions. They'll take on Middlebury College in a local matchup in their first game. This team is not number one, but they're still the team to beat, I think. What do you think?
Well, when you're the defending national champions 4 years in a row, you got something special going on. And Kevin Houle has that special thing going on. The kids who want to play at this level, they play for Plattsburgh State, and they are, of course, led by Melissa Sharon, who is the NAWHL Player of the Year this year. She was the ECAC Player of the Year last year.
Then they switched conferences, so that's why the new title.
Absolutely. So, and she is just an incredible player. She's sixth in D3 history in points with 184. She's got 96 goals and 88 assists total. And that's sixth all-time in Division III. And she's up again this year for the Laura Hurd Award as the best player in the country. And that's the equivalent to, like, Division I's Hobie Baker Award.
Yeah. You know, I talked to Melissa Sheeran right after her, I want to say it was right after her freshman year, because I was working at ESPN Radio in Albany, and she's from the Albany area. And then ended up, you know, going to a prep type school, and then coming up to Plattsburgh. So she's been on my radar for the last 3 years. What an unbelievable career she has had!
It's unbelievable, because if you look at the Plattsburgh State lineup, it's kids that are 5'2" to 5'4". They're not very big.
Yeah.
But Melissa Sheeran is the best skater and the best handler of the puck, the best shooter, and has ice awareness that is so superior to everyone else. It's fun to watch her on the ice because literally teams back away from her when she has the puck.
Yeah.
They don't want to be embarrassed.
Just like Jonathan Petrie, they just get out of the way.
Just get out of the way. Let these two kids play.
Now, I don't need to drudge up things from a year ago, and I don't even need the exact names, but Plattsburgh's got two players suspended going into this matchup against Middlebury, and that's for conduct that took place on the team bus last year after Plattsburgh won the national championship. How does that affect them going into their opening round matchup with Middlebury?
Again, these kids are absolutely focused on the national championship. Coach Kevin Houle has done a supreme job of preparation and getting these kids ready. In their last contest in the NEWHL championship
game. Where they smoked my Oswego Lakers 6-0.
I'm not saying, I didn't mention that at all. They
win
6-0. It was 3-0. It was over in the first period.
Yeah.
It was just over. There was chippy play by Oswego in the second period.
You calling us dirty?
But I said chippy. I didn't say dirty. But yeah, it was chippy. And in the third period, it was very non-eventful and it was fine. But this Plattsburgh State team is on a mission. They are focused. They've got the best two goalkeepers in the nation, a stellar defense, and they are explosive offensively.
Brian Gloyd covers Plattsburgh State men's basketball and Plattsburgh State women's hockey for 103.7. You can listen this Friday night as the Cardinals take on Swarth or Swarthmore, depending on how you want to say it, in the Sweet 16. Brian, we appreciate the time and you being in studio.
Thank you so much for having me. I look forward to covering the Middlebury Plattsburgh State women's game on 103.7 FM WPLB.
We appreciate it, Brian. Let you go out of the studio and you can debate how to say it more, Swath or Swarthmore. But that was Brian Gloyd, voice of the Cardinals. And if you missed any of that interview, as always, you can listen back on 1013ESPN.com. Coming out of the wire here, just 10 minutes away from ACC tournament basketball as we send you out to that again, championship week here. And we are very excited about what's going on championship week-wise in Vermont Sports Saturday. We'll be broadcasting live from Patrick Gym, from adjacent to Patrick Gym at Fan Fest over on the turf inside Patrick Gym. So looking forward to that. And they've already got a great guest list worked out for their show. We're working on our guest list for tomorrow and Friday. Remember, we will be at Idle Time Brewing Company in Stowe tomorrow for our show. Looking forward to that as well. New York Giants better hope Alec Ogletree is a long-term piece. Giants acquired the linebacker, 27 years old, so he's still young. He's expensive. He's owed a lot of money over that 4 years. They acquired him from the Los Angeles Rams, and in exchange, they also got a seventh-round pick. They gave up a fourth and a sixth-round pick. The Giants better hope that Ogletree is in it for the long haul, that he is good for the duration of the 4 years on that deal, because if he's not, then this team has given up two draft picks for what would have amounted to nothing. They need him to be good for all 4 years on this deal because the Giants don't have any cap space and now they've traded away two picks. If they don't think that if Ogletree doesn't make a difference for the lifeblood, for the lifeline of that 4 year contract, then they've made a massive mistake. The Giants have humongous holes to fill. And they just traded away a fourth and a sixth round pick and took on a lot more money when they didn't have a whole lot of money to take on anyways. If you are a Giant fan, you need to hope that Alec Ogletree is good for the next 4 years. Because if he's not, this is just a terrible move by Dave Gettleman. And I saw people saying on Twitter, do you think this means they're not taking a quarterback now? Because Ogletree's really only a short-term move, so they're going to try to capitalize as much as they can on winning with Eli and hope for the best and just kind of see what happens after that. I don't look at it that way. If you told me Ogletree was only on the final year of a contract, I would say, okay, the Giants are going all in on this season. They're going to probably blow past taking a quarterback at number two. They're going to draft Saquon Barkley or an offensive lineman at two, maybe the kid from Notre Dame. And they're going to just try to win this year with Eli Manning and put more talent around him. I don't think that's the case here. If Alec Ogletree is good for the next four seasons, as his contract is structured, Well, then you've got a guy who's helped you out in the short term and the long term, and he's a guy who can be a foundational piece of that defense. And the linebackers for the Giants have not been that good lately. Giants had a good defensive front 2 years ago with JPP and Snacks Harrison and Olivia Vernon. They had a good secondary a few years ago with Janoris Jenkins and Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie and rookie Eli Apple, who played well at times before he became a head case this season, injured and a head case. So there was some talent there on the front and back sides of that defense. The Giants didn't have really anything at the linebacker position. So now they've gotten themselves a good linebacker. And look, I like the move. I like acquiring talent. But if you're going to sacrifice draft picks and take on a good amount of money, then you better hope that you hit on the player for the lifeline of that contract. Because if you don't, well, then you've gotten a useless player and sacrificed two potentially useful picks. 802-655-6672. If you want to get in on the Town Fair Tire text line, you always can. Remember, tomorrow, broadcasting live from Idle Time Brewery in Stowe. That's the spot you want to be. So drive safe. We are going to get some snow, especially, I know, to our south, there's going to be more. So drive safe to us at Stowe tomorrow. That's 4 o'clock until 6:30 tomorrow for Champlain Valley Game Night and the Huddle. We'll have Bruins hockey tomorrow after the show at Idle Time Brewing Company. So trivia tonight out at City Sports Grill, 7:30 to 9:30. Another good contingent is coming out. People are coming out every single week. We got a couple of people who reached out to us as well saying, hey, is there still room? Of course there's room. We've got an upstairs that you can go to as well. Thank you to Buster Olney for joining us in the Huddle, Brian Hoke for joining us as well in the Huddle, and thank you to Brian Gloyd for sitting down with us here in Champlain Valley Game Night. That'll do it for us. ACC tournament action is next. This is March. We're just days away from another America East Championship coming here to Patrick Gym. I cannot wait for that. Last year was a great game between the Cats and Albany. This one, I think UVM, look, it's early, but I think UVM's got a decided advantage over UMBC. That comes your way Saturday morning, 11 a.m. for the tip, 10:30 on our coverage, Sports Saturday, live from FanFest at Patrick Gym. That does it for us here on Champlain Valley Game Night. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. It's 101.3 ESPN.